Well, Karsten, if we need a new verse, I recommend John 17:17. Sanctify them in truth. Thy word is truth, or your word is truth. That's what we're going to talk about today. So, Jesus prayed for your sanctification. Whose great quote was that there, Karsten?
I was taking off a website from my GTY.
Okay. I was thinking maybe it was a KM quote, you know, Karsten Miller. Jesus prayed for your sanctification. That's good. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. That's going to be our meditation today. So we're going to talk about. It's a month on sanctification, so we need to think a little bit about what that is. There's so much to this. I taught a whole course on it, but I think we can just glean a couple of thoughts this morning. The word sanctify, hagiadzo, comes from a Greek word group that basically means holy. What does holy mean? Anyone know? To be set apart for something very special. In this case, set apart for God. Of course, God himself is described as holy. You all know that. He is in a completely different category. When we think of the holiness of God, you might think of something that's bright white with no impurities in it. You know, I don't know what comes to your mind. But basically, it means that God is other than anything else. He's in a category by himself. So anything, therefore, that gets set apart to God instantly becomes holy or sanctified. That's what it means to be sanctified. So the temple is holy because it's God's temple. The high priest, who's God's high priest, is holy because he's the high priest to God. The seventh day was set apart, which was Saturday, was set apart and sanctified to be the day in which you'd remember the Lord and you would not work. And so it was set apart to God. So everything that touches God, touches the things of God, then becomes said to be sanctified. And there are just so many examples of this in the Old Testament, even the utensils that were used in the temple, anything that was set apart for God, anything that was set apart for the worship of God was instantly sanctified. So to sanctify something is to set it apart for a very special purpose so it won't be used for anything else. And it's related to, with us, God and his holiness, the fact that he himself is set apart. So sanctification is it's a religious discussion because it always is related to God. We're supposed to be godly people. We're sanctified to God, so we're set apart for them. Here Jesus is praying for his own disciples, you know, sanctify them. Now, in the context, that means something. If you haven't opened to John 17, please do, because I want you to note a couple of things there. These guys are no longer to have a common purpose, is basically what he's praying. This is the upper room discourse. You guys know that? You know, you've had the upper room teaching from chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16. And he's basically, this is the Last Supper. He's telling his disciples a lot of stuff. He's teaching them about service, about love towards one another. Judas has exited. Then he is telling them about the coming of the Holy Spirit, telling them not to depart from him, remain in him. There are a lot of exhortations. And then in chapter 17, he turns and prays for them. They could be on their way out already by this point in time, out to the Mount of Olives, en route. Some people believe the prayer is being, you know, said en route. But basically, if you read chapter 17, you see he's praying for the very things that he exhorted them. He told them, this is what you have to do. And then he turns to the Father and he says, basically, I know they can't do the things I told them, so I'm asking you to do it for them. He tells them, remain in the Word, but then he tells the Father, sanctify them in the world, keep them. You need to abide, but then he turns to the Father and prays, please keep them. So there's a lot of that kind of back and forth there. And it's good practice, by the way, when you teach the Word of God to people, whenever you exhort people in the Word of God, you've never completed your work as a spiritual leader or minister until you've prayed for them. Because you have to pray that God will do the very things you told them to do because they can't. So if you pray them, they need to be faithful, you turn to God and you say, help them to see that they need to be faithful and preserve them so they will be faithful. So that's kind of what's going on in the broader context. But then he talks about this sanctification stuff here. And you'll notice, this is just a few thoughts here. I may be a little bit rambling today, but when he says, sanctify them in the truth, your word is truth. Look at what he says in verse 18. He says, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And earlier in John, he talks about how the Father had sanctified him and sent him into the world. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that Jesus was impure and needed to be cleaned up by God the Father. No, he's already pure. It's not really talking about purity. It's talking about being set apart. So God the Father set the Son aside and for a special purpose and said, you're going to go into the world and you're going to fulfill a mission. So Jesus was sanctified, set apart for that mission and came in. Now he's looking at his 11, 12 are not here, Judas is gone. And he's basically praying to the Father that they'll be set apart for a very important mission. And the mission is described there as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. So he's saying, I'm setting them apart for a mission. I'm sending them into the world. In fact, if you back up, he says, I have given them, this is verse 14, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I don't ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. So basically, I'm going to set them apart for a mission. Rather than taking them out of the world, I'm sending them a mission into the world. But they're not going to be successful in their mission to the world unless they are indeed set apart and sanctified for that. So he prays for the Father to sanctify them. Now, there's also an active sense in which they are to participate in that positional sanctification. They're set apart for this task, this mission, but how are they themselves going to be sanctified? The answer is they're going to be sanctified in truth. Truth. And he doesn't just say, you know, something that's true. He says, sanctify them in the truth. And we could have a whole discussion about the truth, that this isn't just something that is true. They have a neat message that's true, and they're going to take it to the world. Many people have messages that are true. They're real as far as that goes. This was a message of the truth that they were to take into the world. This was their mission. They were to be sanctified in truth and then take the truth into the world and give it to the world. The world needs the truth. So it's kind of an interesting thing. There's a realm in which they're sanctified in the truth, but then they're sanctified for the purpose of the truth, to take the truth. So there's two things that have to be going on. They have to know the truth well, let the truth penetrate into their minds and hearts well. Then they have to take that very truth, and they have to deliver it to the world. And that's what they were going to do. And that was a mission. It was a special mission. No one else was given that mission. They in particular were given that mission. Why? Because they were witnesses to Christ. They were eyewitnesses of his life, eyewitnesses of his passion and suffering, eyewitnesses of things that other people had never been able to see, like the transfiguration and all of that, and most importantly, eyewitnesses of his resurrection, which people had to see, touch, you know, be there with him, handle him, eat with him, and so that's the key to Christianity. Now they're going to go into the world with a message of a raised, victorious Savior, and so they have to be set apart to that. There's a derivative sense in which we join the apostles in their testimony, but it's not really our testimony. We're not testifying Jesus was risen from the dead. They testified Jesus was risen from the dead. And they did a very good job. They filled the whole world with that testimony. And it was a very credible testimony. Otherwise, Christianity would never have been born. That's the base and foundation for Christianity. We take the apostolic testimony now in Scripture, and we continue to pass on that testimony. We add our testimony, and that is how Christ has changed our lives. But I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. Let me back up. When we think about sanctification in us and how this relates to us, I'll go back to the disciples. There was two parts to it. They had to be enveloped in truth, receive truth, understand truth, the truth, let it affect their thinking. And then as they're passionate about the truth, living the truth, then they would go out and they would give a testimony, not about something exterior to them, something that was professional, something that was stale. Like, yeah, this guy in, you know, this guy in Israel, he did such and such, you know, he fulfilled prophecy and then he did this and then he did that, as if all this truth was external to them. It was something that they had entered into themselves and they had experienced the truth. And as they went out to preach the word, people could tell these were people that really believed that truth and lived that truth and were enveloped and absorbed by that truth. Indeed, we found out earlier in John that they had the Spirit of truth. The Holy Spirit is literally called the Spirit of truth, abiding in them. And they were testifying to one who said, I am the truth. So there's truth all around them in every way. So we have, a very clear pattern here for how we as men, as Christians, as anybody, how we're supposed to become more and more sanctified for the mission. How do we become sanctified? How do I become more holy unto God? That's a question a lot of us have. We want to know the means in which that occurs. How do we get sanctified? Even before we do that, we need to understand why we should be sanctified. And why is the mission? They were sent into the world. Christ sent them into the world. Here's a world that's lost. And we could spend all this time talking about what the world is really like. The world is lies. The world is darkness. The world is selfishness. The world is arrogance. The world hates the light, tries to snuff out the light, persecutes believers, laughs and scoffs at people that try to live righteously, don't even understand them. The world is a system of thinking. The world is a here and now kind of, not a there and then. The world is influenced by demonic powers. That's the world. That's the world in which we live. That's the world in which you work. That's the world in which we try to minister. That's the world in which Hope Bible Church and any other church that's proclaiming the gospel is in. That's the very world we're being sent to. So when you leave here, you're going to have your little corner of the world to go to be a light to. You may not like that corner of the world. You may have said, like, they're not really listening to my witness and all that. But you should at least know that's where you're being sent. And next year, it may be another group of people. And you may have some interesting experiences on the way to work or on the way back from work, or because you get called to something you don't normally get called to, whether it's jury duty or helping someone on the side of a road. And all of a sudden, you're just immersed in the world, and there you are. But what good are you in ministering to the world? What good are you? And I say that not because I'm trying to insult you, but to get you to think about that. Really, what good are you in your mission to the world? Again, derived from our continuing with the apostles. You have a mission, but what good are you at? What kind of an instrument are you? Now, we're going through 2 Timothy at our table over there. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I think it's around verse 20, it says, in a large house, you know, there are many vessels. There's some vessels for honor and some for dishonor. But it says if a man cleanses himself of these kinds of sins that are listed in that context, he will become or be a vessel for honor. Sanctified, meaning set apart, right? Set apart. In other words, here's an instrument. We use that for common dirty things around the house. But here's another vessel. Oh, no, we don't use that for common things. That's some good, that's a china, that's a good stuff. We're setting that apart for some special things. Well, if you will cooperate with God's sanctification positionally as you set apart, let that be the way you think, you will be set apart for the master's use, to be useful to God. So sanctification, usefulness, sanctification and the mission go hand in hand. Do you want to be useful? Do you want your sharing of the word of God to be more powerful? Do you want when you give the gospel to be more effective? Do you want, as you lead your home, your young ones, your wife and all, your home, to have a little greater sense of it being really of God? Well, then you need to be more sanctified. Cooperate with the sanctification. That's the motivation that should get inside of you. You're like, well, I'm working on my sanctification not because I ought to, because, you know, I just sort of feel in my conscience guilty when I don't. There's some truth to that. But because I'm part of a mission. And God wants to use me. He wants to use me in church. He wants to use me in the world. That's what we're here for. Do you want Hope Bible Church to have a stronger mission? Do you want us to be able to rise up in our teaching and in our schools and in our evangelistic enterprises and whatever else may happen? Use of technology, counseling ministries, encouraging lonely people, homeless people. It requires to have sanctified people. We're set apart by the prayer of Christ. We're set apart to the mission. But how are we cooperating with that sanctification? And that brings us then back to the how-tos. How do I grow in the sanctification? That if I'm motivated, and yes, I do, I want to be cleaner. I want to be more set apart for Him. I want to be more powerful. I want to be an instrument the Lord uses. All right, great, wonderful. How do you do that? And the answer is the truth. We're set apart in the truth. What does that mean? That refers to us, our thinking about the truth, our minds. Just connect this with be sanctified in your mind, or be renewed in the spirit of your mind, I think it says in Ephesians, or Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, or the things that are noble and true, think on these things in Philippians, right? And you see this constant emphasis in Scripture on the mind, the mind, the mind, the mind, what you think about. The mind is active. I mean, the mind can get rolling. Your mind right now has probably got three or four things rolling around in it right now. And it's hard sometimes just to stay focused on one thing. My mind's going all the time. What's it going to? What is it thinking about? What is it feeding on? It's not feeding on truth. All the time, it's not feeding on truth. And that's why you can't get the sanctification that you want. In each of the categories that come up, money, job, working with people, sex, you know about the truths. You could probably quote some of the verses on the truths, but they don't enter into your mind, and you don't ponder the truth enough to allow the sanctification to occur. So we all just memorized a beautiful verse, and everything give thanks. I guarantee we don't give thanks in everything. Why not? Because we're not thinking about it long enough for us to let the very pleasurable experience of being a thankful person overtake the way we think. We know that we're not supposed to lust, but we don't think on the beautiful truths long enough in our own minds to let the very beautiful thing of being a faithful thinking man impact us so that we can be sanctified. As if doing this is so laborious and it's so hard and it doesn't work. I already know all those Bible verses and I already know all this stuff. Yes, you know about it in a kind of a professional, objective way, but it's not in you thinking about it all day long. And that's why it doesn't have the power and effect on you. And it's because you think it, somehow it gets in your mind, because I know it gets into my mind, that's just too hard. I already know that. Give me something else that I can work on to make me more sanctified. Sometimes you listen to these call-in radio, you know, these call-in radio things on Christian radio, and they're saying, you know, it's one of these counseling things. Yeah, I got such and such a problem. Tell me about it. And they tell you about the problem, and they're like, it's clearly a spiritual problem. And they're like, yeah, I know the Bible verses. I tried that. That doesn't really work. I need something deeper. And so Mr. Integrationist Psychologist guy, he's going to give the deeper thing that the Bible somehow just didn't put in there. Because, you know, I mean, it's true, but it doesn't really help all that much. It doesn't go down to the deep things of the soul. Really? Okay. And I'm just listening to the caller and thinking, I would just wish I could take you, sit you down and spend hours talking through that verse that you just poo-pawed as being not all that powerful and get to completely replace your entire way of thinking with what that verse actually says. I wish we could just kind of camp on that over and over and over again. Stick it in your mouth. Chew on it now. Chew on it over and over. Do you taste that? Because I don't think you ever tasted it before. You held it up like a piece of gum, sniffed it, put it down and said, I know what that is. I know what that Bible verse is all about. It's not in you. It's not permeating your thinking. And that's why you're never going to be sanctified. So the real danger for us at Hope Bible Church and churches like ours is to get this false sense of sanctification by being under expository preaching, coming out to men's meetings, opening up the Word of God, going to your small group, having the Word of God, getting your podcast, doing your daily reading, and never pondering it deeply for yourself, never letting it take those old thoughts and just literally push them out, where you're confessing with God, that's my old way of thinking, and this is the way that I have to start thinking. We're not believing God. We're not loving God. We're not excited about the things of God. We don't let it overtake our heart, our soul, our mind, and our thinking. Or we do, to a certain extent, get very satisfied with that because we don't see other Christians doing even as much as what we've done, and we think that's far enough. But then we go struggle with the same sins over and over again. Why? Because we're not really letting our minds be renewed in the truth. Sanctify them in the truth. Thy word is truth. There's your bibliology too, by the way. Thy word is truth. It's inerrant. It's authoritative. It's infallible. It's sufficient. It's life-changing. It's reliable. Thy word is truth. It's ultimate. It's got everything in it that your mind needs, and therefore everything that your sanctification needs. It's all in the Word of God. It's adequate, equipped for every good work, right? Amen. I don't have a discussion question. I forgot that. So I'll let you trust you to take it any direction you need to.